Thank you, Alison. Good morning, church. This is going to be unpacked now by myself, and I am not Pastor Andy Warner. For those of you that are visiting, I'm just a student at Bible College. My name's also Andy, but I'm not the pastor, but it's a real privilege to be here today to look at the verses that we've just read and make some sense of what it meant then and what it means today. Now, for the past five sessions, we've been going through Exodus, which is right near the beginning of the Old Testament, and we've heard about Moses and his journey through the desert. We're now jumping 1,500 years forward from Exodus to Hebrews. Now, the book of Hebrews is towards the back of the New Testament. The book of Hebrews was written about 60, 65 years after the birth of Jesus. The reason Hebrews was written was to explain to the church who were coming under the early Christians intense persecution, and they didn't know it then, but the author obviously did, it was going to get worse under Emperor Nero. So the book of Hebrews, what you've just heard, is written to the early church who were kind of under the hammer. Things are beginning to happen. The title of the sermon is Faith and Focus. The previous five sessions have been about faith, and we've looked at this through the faith of Moses. So I haven't got there yet, Chris. I'm just kidding. I haven't got there yet. So we're looking at this whole word of faith, and we're looking at it through the journey that we've been following over the past 5 weeks with Moses. In chapter 11 of Hebrews, we actually get what some people call the Hall of Faith. It lists great warriors, great faithful people throughout the Old Testament that have actually pushed God's journey forward, and they're examples to us. And in this Hall of Faith, we find Moses, the guy that we've been following for the 5 weeks. At the beginning of the chapter, thankfully, faith is kind of defined for us, which is my first overhead, Chris. Now, as you can see behind us, this is obviously Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And you can see there that faith is defined as this. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance in what we don't see. So there we have a definition of faith. At the time it was written, the language has obviously been translated and words take on different meanings. And the word confidence, when it was written in the Greek, is hypostasis. Now that might not seem important, but it's important to us because it actually has a heavier meaning, as it were. Hypostasis means essence. So where you see confidence, it's actually essence. It's fundamental core substance. So it's more than just faith. Faith today, when I hear the word faith, I hear expressions like, I'm a man of faith, I'm a lady of faith, I've got faith. And it's kind of grey, it's kind of light. Well, in the Old Testament, faith was your fundamental core essence. Faith was your very being. And in previous sermons, we've heard that faith in the Old Testament was directly linked to obedience. Do you remember? I had the privilege of talking about sermons of Moses' son and the unfortunate incident that we had to cut short. Well, that is faith and obedience. So in the Old Testament, the two are linked together. It may jump forward three now. I've clicked it three times. So. Chris, could you bail me out? What you are going to see prayerfully soon is a beautiful picture. And this beautiful hand-drawn, well, it wasn't hand-drawn, it was done on a computer, was done by Becky McManus. And it kind of encapsulates the whole situation. What you're going to see is a path. Can you see a path? Isn't that nice? I don't know if you can see it at the back, but she's actually copyrighted it. Faith is a journey. The title of the series has been Moving On Together, and we are all on a journey. The great philosopher McManus said, change is constant, it's the rate of change that changes. We're all getting older. New things are happening. This Sunday afternoon, new experiences will come. We're on a journey. We're on a journey that starts with faith. And as we live in faith, and faith is free, it is not earned. All you need to do is turn to Jesus and accept him as your Lord. Once you have faith, you are on a journey. As you can see in the illustration, it meanders a little bit, but it moves through to faithfulness. If you come off the path, it's faithlessness, where things go wrong. You stay on the path and you move forward. And if you look up and at the end of the path, you'll see metaphorically a cross. And we're going to return to this theme in a minute. Alison kindly read out these passages, and I have highlighted some of the key words in the passages to make sense of it today. Verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he'd grown up, refused to be known as the son of the Pharaoh's daughter. The power and the privilege that Moses turned away from is not to be taken lightly. I would kind of liken it to being Obama, President Barack Obama's son. This is nothing to do with the Quran and all this. Clear that thought. The power that Moses turned away from is phenomenal. He chose, in verse 25, he made a decision in faith to move away from that and towards 40 desolate years in the desert. Verse 26, he regarded disgrace of the sake of Christ as greater value than these treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. We've had faith, we've had decisions, and now he's looking ahead to his reward. Verse 27, naturally following on, by faith he left Egypt. He exited, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. These three things come in this order: the faith, the decisions, and the focus. I started the service by talking about Psalm 19, about the wonder and beauty of the heavens that kind of signal to us this is our Creator. If your focus is down and it's at the sea, you're down, you're reacting to the day-to-day secular stuff. In Romans 12:1, you're kind of encouraged to be in a culture of materialism and complying, you're down the bottom. If you can metaphorically lift your vision up, you're going to see those stars tonight. There's going to be a clear sky tonight. That's kind of what Psalm 19 and many passages in the Bible are exhorting you to do. They're encouraging you to look up. Now, this may seem a strange slide. This is obviously a path. We're continuing the theme of moving on a journey. If you look at the sand, the dry, gritty sand at the bottom left, that's where you're going to go. As my motorcycling advanced examiner will tell you, it's called WYSIWYG. Where you see is where you go. And if you look at that, you will go for the sand. And that's where you'll live. If you look at the bottom right and you go to the dark, shady shadows of the bush, that's where you're going to be. You're not going to make it up that road. You need to focus up. You need to look at the top of the hill. You need to look at where you're going. And WYSIWYG comes in. You will go where you look. Now, this is the choices that Moses had to make. You need to decide for yourselves where you are looking, because where you spend your time and where you spend your action is where you are headed. Moreover, when you're looking at the sand or the shadows, you cannot see the horizon. And dare I say, this is a lot of our brothers and sisters today. But strangely, if you look at the horizon, and try it now, you will see in the foreground the shade and the dryness. You will see the sand. If you look at the sand, you can't see the horizon. But if you look at that horizon, you will see the foreground. This is not an easy journey. There will be tumbles and scrapes and manhole covers and upset. But if you keep looking up, you're aware of what's below you, but you're moving on in the right direction. If you dare to look even higher, and Amy sung last week about God's love, how big, how high. If you dare to look even higher into the supernatural, this is what Moses did. This was the power, the supernatural. Remember the miracles that we preached about the rods that turned into, you know, the staffs that turned into snakes and the rocks into water. If you dare to look high enough, then this is what you'll be doing. We sung earlier, mentioning it with Richard and the worship team and Mal about love. God is love. And if you dare to look high enough, you will just get a glimpse. You'll never fully grasp all what I'm saying. And I'll never fully grasp the power of the Bible. But if you dare to look high enough, you will see a glimpse of God's love. The hall of faith, as it were, chapter 11 finishes. And Alison took us into the first verse of Hebrews 12. And again, I've highlighted some words. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Sin is just stuff that keeps us from God. Let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. Now, the word for witnesses is, can't read my writing. Here is, Jenny would have known this. It's martus. Martus becomes martyrs. Words change, and it's quite important sometimes when you read in your Bible to find what the author truly meant, what the author was trying to convey across to the audience. These, nowadays, if I was reading that and I read witness, it would have meant kind of like a passive observer, somebody that saw something going by. This is not what we're reading. And as you tackle your Bible and get hungry for the word, these are martyrs. The metaphorical language, it's just a cloud. That's put in there intentionally. The author of Hebrews literally is a genius. It's beautifully written, and it's a cloud fully encircles you. It's everywhere. A cloud is everything. It's not just above you. It's not just on a horizon. These martyrs, this cloud of people that are living a faithfulness life, they're going out, and actually, but they hadn't actually been martyred technically at this point. They were just about to come under the cosh, as it were. They were just about to push through all that stuff the Romans did, all that horrendous stuff. The author knew this was coming, and he's written this, we know it's a he, to inspire the readers, and it inspires us today. We have a cloud of witnesses. We have a cloud of martyrs, like Moses and like many, many, many people right up through today in China and far-flung countries, a cloud of witnesses that we should be aware of. Lots of things slow us down on the race. It is so easy, I like they actually puts in there, so easy to just, it may seem a strange example, go on Facebook. If you're in a race, you haven't got time to be answering your emails, watching the rubbish on the telly and getting sidetracked. We're moving on together. We're on a journey, we're making some pace. Somebody said, travel light, travel fast. So try to recognise the things, and we've all got stuff that takes your focus off. Recognise what your stuff is and park it to one side. Even if you do it a bit at a time, get rid of the luggage and get moving. And the final bit of this passage, the author tells us, this race is marked out for us. Every word in the Bible is divinely written. Everything's in there for a purpose. It's not just an add-on to make it flow nicely. The race is marked out for us. God knows every hair on your head. Complicatedly, you've got free will. So you make decisions and you change your path, as we've already said. But God knows everything about you. And I take some succour in this, that God knows exactly the race that is marked out for me. I don't know who that is, but he's running very quickly. Now, you might not see the left-hand side of this overhead. And I was hoping Glyn was going to be in here today to explain it to me. But it's a website called Marathon Rookie or something similar.
Yep.
All of those windows on the left are more information about training for a marathon. They're all things that you would have to do if you were training for a marathon. And this is one of the best bits of my notes, because I've written here, all you need is faith and focus. I mentioned earlier, you don't earn faith. You just accept God and you start following God. And as a result of that faith, fruit will bear. As you go on in your thoughts, if you hold God in your thoughts and then in your speech, in your actions, you will bear fruit. So you don't have to train to be a Christian. You don't have to go through all these clicky menu things. Just have faith and focus on Jesus. And that's exactly what the author goes on to say. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, he is the author and finisher, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. It's all by him. For the joy set before Jesus, he endured the cross. He could have done all sorts of things, and we haven't got time to look at that. Jesus is all power. He didn't have to do this. He scorned it, he scorned the shame, and he sat down, and he ended up at the right hand, the position of power with God. He is our example. Remember the cloud of witnesses? He is the witness. And the passage for us concludes with this. And if you want to carry on afterwards, as I said, there's sheets to go around and explore Hebrews. It's an amazing book. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You won't end up in the sand. Consider him who endured such opposition. Think about Jesus. The people that condemned him were the opposite of him. They weren't even good judges and people that were killing him. These were sinners, and he still endured it. He went through that. He went through that. So where our day-to-day troubles, as we go along that path, you need to get some perspective on them. Now, I'm not going to put Mrs. Baines on the spot, but the word for consider, are you ready? Is analogue isomalai. That's one for any pens moving there? Anyone get that? Analogue isomalai. What that means doesn't just mean consider, it's another example. This means inner faith or deep contemplation. That's what it really means. So the author is exhorting these people that are under pressure. You really need to take this information in. You need to understand what Jesus went through. Don't just consider it. You really need to make this a core value that clicks in and connects with your faith. And when you have that faith, you will not grow weary and lose heart. The title of this sermon is Faith and Focus. That last picture may be, for some of you, a memory as you leave today, about faith and focus. You need to conclude, you need the faith in your heart. You don't have to work at it, you don't have to train at it. Just accept faith into your heart. Then you focus on God through prayer, through Bible, through fellowship. Focus on God, and he will make your path straight. But in my final lines, it's really important that you focus on God. Because what we're going to be doing in a minute is communion. And communion is a real privilege and an opportunity, a scriptural opportunity to be quiet and focus on what Jesus did for us on that cross.